Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, July 30th, 2018. And today's show is titled Part 2, Perfecting Perfect. I hope you had an opportunity last week to view Part 1. If not, it's okay. I'll do a quick recap. But you definitely want to check out Part 1 because I went into great detail about what it means to be perfect. You hear people saying all day, I'm not perfect, and I'm not the perfect wife, and I'm not the perfect husband. And immediately when you hear people say that, it kind of makes you settle for imperfection. It makes you settle for the settling sake instead of saying, well, why not be perfect? Be perfect. Be a perfect wife. Be a perfect husband. Be a perfect mom. Be a perfect. And perfect doesn't mean your perfect is not going to be my perfect. Like some people like their man catering to them and worshiping the ground they walk on. Like, I don't like that. So that perfect man for that woman that does that and lets her rule and reign, and all he do is, yes, honey, and she do all the agenda and the navigating and the itinerary and the family, and she plans everything. I don't like that. So that's her perfect husband. To me, that would be irritating and annoying because I'm like, you don't have an opinion? Like, what you want to eat, honey? I don't know, whatever you want to eat. I don't know what I'm going to eat. That's what I'm asking you. Maybe you throw some ideas. I don't know, whatever you want. I'm going to just like this. Yes, whatever it is. Like, I mean, I don't like that. Like, I like to be able to say, hey, I was thinking about making some chicken. Chicken, damn, we had chicken last night. You want us to fly away? Oh, I'm going to make some beef. You want some beef? What you going to do with it? Like, can we have a key about it? Like, can you have your own opinion? You don't get tired of chicken. You won't say you're tired of chicken, but then you'll be on the phone with your homeboys. Yo, I'll make chicken every day. Because you're trying to be a perfect wife to her. Those women like those type of men. Like, I'm not one of them. I like you to have an opinion. I like for you to tell me if I'm doing something wrong. I want to grow together. I don't want to be the boss. You know what I mean? Like, you're my head. Can I learn from you sometimes? Like, that's how I am. So my perfect husband and her perfect husband is going to be totally different. And that's the problem. We all put the word perfect in a box. And let's take that word out of the box and find our perfect. Like, find your perfect. Like, I'm discovering my perfect. You know what I mean? I'm discovering God's perfect right now. I want to know what God says about perfect. I want to know why the hell 99 times it's in the Bible if this is something that we couldn't achieve. Why would you continuously keep saying, be perfect, but then you have the humans not cooperating and saying, well, I can't be perfect. So something is wrong. We've misunderstood what he was telling us to do, clearly. And before I get into it and do a quick recap on what it means to be perfect, let's quickly go into the 7 rules regarding prophecy. That way, as we're reading the scriptures, we can let the scriptures interpret itself and let God tell us what this word says and not some watered-down, sugar-coated, or Google-flavored version of it. Let's just read it. You know what I'm saying? Like, read it and study it. But this should be the baseline to every study, every material, every research, every video, every other book. This should be the base. And if it's not in here, then there is nowhere. And if it's not in here, then don't add it in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, let this be the base. So perfect is in here a few times. And it is very, very clear what he's asking. So, like I said, let's read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is 1, understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule to prophecy is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meaning. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then give the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Let the Bible be its own interpreter. And I forgot to say hi to everybody, and I hope you had a great weekend. I most definitely had a great weekend. Those that I'm friends with, I'm sorry. I'm a little tired. But those that I'm friends with, on Saturday, I went to this event in Atlanta. I'm about an hour and 15 minutes left, hour and a half out. Why am I talking like that? I'm like an hour and a half from Atlanta, but I try to get down with the events and stuff that they're having, and they had this African dance event. It was so amazing. I mean, they had Guinea dances, dance classes, and drum classes. Obviously, I don't have a drum, so I didn't take the drum classes. But they had Mali dance, and if I'm saying that right, Mali, this is a part of Africa. Guinea, I want to say the Ivory Coast, and Ghana, I want to say. But all of those dances, oh, my goodness, they worked us out. I didn't know how fun African dancing was, how hard African dancing is, and how, you know, like direct, like they got little certain hand gestures and stuff they do to make it all their own, and it was absolutely amazing. I mean, the whole event, I mean, we got there, the event started at 9:30, I got there a little bit late at 10, but thank God, they was just getting going, and it was over at like 8 o'clock at night, so it was like all day. But I tell you, man, I mean, I'll be better prepared next time. But it was just amazing. Like I said, the classes and learning, it was more like a workout for me. And y'all know I gained a lot of weight. I mean, good weight. It's not bad weight. That's why I'm trying to address it before it becomes bad weight. But I used to be 125 pounds my whole life. And now I am pushing into the 160. And it's good. It's good now. But, you know, I don't want it to get out of control before I try to, like, pull it in a little bit. So, having said that, after that workout and, like, they worked us so good. It just felt so good. So I wanted to keep that up. So I actually started a workout routine today. We got up early at, like, 7, and we just kind of did, like, a little thing. Everybody was kind of freestyling and working out. I was lifting weights. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to keep it together. You know, when you look good, you feel good. You feel good, you act good, and everything is good. It all starts with how you look, you know what I'm saying, how you present yourself. Not to be shallow or whatever, but it's like how you feel about yourself shows in your attitude and, like, your disposition and how you handle everybody else. Remember, God says love your neighbor as yourself. If you hate yourself and you think you're worthless, then how can you love somebody else or love your neighbor or love a husband or love a wife or even love your children? You want to wonder why so much child abuse these days? Because nobody loves themselves. You know what I mean? How you want to love your child but you hate yourself? Like, it doesn't even go. So all of this start with self-love. And no, I'm not talking about the part in the Bible where it says, in the end, men are going to become lovers of self. Keywords are more than God. More than God. More than God. Don't add in on nothing else that I'm saying. It says that, and they're going to be lovers of self more than God. Finish it out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing who you are. You are part of the royal priesthood. You are a child of God. And that in itself is a great thing to be, you know, to celebrate, you know. And this is the holy temple, like we were told. Like, just agree with God is basically what I'm saying. He loves us, you know, so why can't you love yourself? He needs to put people around us to love us, right? But also, everywhere in the scriptures it says, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Husband, love your wife like you love yourself. So everything is designed to love yourself as well. Don't misunderstand. Now these days when people say, oh, I love myself, they look at it like, oh, she conceited, or oh, she arrogant. No, I just love myself. Why can't I just love myself? You know, like, when did that become a bad word? When you say, I love myself. You love yourself. She's selfish. No, it's not selfish. I just love myself. You know, so let's get into that self-love a little bit. Like I said, don't go overboard with it. When you just start obsessing over yourself, that's when we got a problem. But just, you know, get it together. Do little by little. Whatever you want to do, do it. You know, if you want to get it together. Right? That's what I'm saying, is get yourself together. This is definitely that season to kind of tap into self. Clear your schedule. Clear all that garbage and extra baggage out the way so that you can get into yourself. And then by you getting into yourself, you can ask God to help you get into yourself, and he'll tell you what areas you need to work on. You know, like me, I was very, very, very shy. I mean, probably overly shy, where it would hold me back. I want you to stay in the box. I'm the one that'll hang out in the last seat, in the last row, in the back. Leave me alone. And thank God, no, you ain't. And he's trying to move me to the front lines. And that's fine. You know, I've said yes. So that's what actually I wanted to say that to you guys. The road to perfection is actually an invitation to walk with God. Don't misunderstand that word to mean little miss perfect and I don't make mistakes and I don't have no problems. Like we covered that on the first show. That's why it's important that you get that show. And if you haven't, you're probably going to be a little thrown off if you don't view the first show, because then you're going to think that I'm talking about being not making, like our definition of perfect is different than God's definition of perfect. You're going to think, I mean, like, oh, you never make a mistake and you never got into any kind of turmoil and, you know, you was born with a silver spoon. Like when you think of, you know, that's what you think of, and then you also have this certain look. Oh, perfect means you're going to have long hair, a little Indian mixed in your family, never any pimples or blemishes or nothing. It's your eyebrow. Like that's our definition of perfect. And that's still a little warped and stupid because some people would say, well, I don't like long hair. I like short hair. You know, so it's like, who's perfect is it? You know, that's why we're so all different. Thank God, you know, he made us all different and variety and tall and short and big and small and black and white and this and that and hard and soft and rough and smooth. Like, God likes variety, okay? We like flowers, right? You can be a rose, you can be a lily. You could be a tulip, but they all beautiful. There's not one person that would say, I'd rather a rose than a tulip. I mean, isn't a tulip also very, very beautiful? Not a tulip, I'm sorry, sunflower, right? Isn't a sunflower very, very beautiful? Like, I would not be able to pick between a sunflower and a rose. Like, I'll be like, I'll take the rose because me, I'll be thinking about, you know, longevity. Y'all can make some rose water, put it in the refrigerator, can freeze some, have some for the month, boom, 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 spray, 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 add it to my face, preserve my, you know. But they're both beautiful is what I'm trying to say. They're really, really beautiful. Different plants are beautiful. I love the way an aloe vera plant looks. It's long. It looks kind of like spotty, and then it has spikes on the side. I think that is absolutely beautiful. I also like the bamboo plant, too. Like, see how everything is so beautiful? Like, you wasn't supposed to pick just one. So, for some reason, you wasn't supposed to compare the rose to the sunflower. We was not supposed to be sitting here comparing lilies to carnations. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's what we do, and that's how dumb we sound. That's how dumb we sound. I mean, that's like a rose saying, I want it to be a carnation. I don't like having these spikes hanging out. Dumb. It sounds dumb. And we really got to do better. We really got to get better. We really got to act better. We really got to feel better, right? And just all around be better. So let's continue to tap into that. You know what I mean? Let's continue to tap into that as much as possible. What was I going to say? Oh, recap. Yeah, I'm going to do a recap from last week's show. I'm not going to be able to do a full recap. Let's come into 7:15. I'm not going to be able to do a full recap, but I'll do enough recap where, you know what I mean? Like, you can get it. You can catch it. Okay. What you call it? Let's do the definition of perfect. The definition of perfect, according to, right, is having all the required desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it's possible to be. An ideal model without fault, flawless, and best. Absolute, complete, total, real, thorough, no defects, polished. In the Strong Concordance, perfect means full-grown, complete, in all its parts, of full age, mature, developed, develop them to completion, fulfilling the necessary process, reaching the end, function at full strength, brought to its end, finished, lacking nothing, adult, rise to the same level of knowledge, intellect, absolute, the perfect level of virtue and integrity, mental and moral character. So from now on, when I use the word perfect, think of complete, okay? Because that's basically what that's saying. Think of complete and whole. Because some reason when you say perfect, girl, I got the perfect man. Perfect man. I see him staring at home. Like you immediately start thinking of all the flaws you see, because that's not what it means. You know what I mean? Or somebody says, no, my wife is just so perfect. That's his perfect. You know what I mean? And immediately we start wanting to go, perfect. Yeah, all right. Yeah, she did this, that. We don't understand what perfect means. It means being blameless, being a peacemaker, having unity, love, and helping, right? Covered over that first show. I'm not going to be able to. I went into what perfect was not first show. I don't have time to completely go into that again. You've got to check it up. Check on it and catch it. I read a few scriptures where God was calling men perfect. Genesis 6:9, Noah. Genesis 17, Abram, a.k.a. Abraham. Right? I pulled out a bunch of scriptures. Today, now, I gave you the blueprint scriptures. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Let me just read that really, really quick, because that's like them. And 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Right? Yes. And this is David telling his son Solomon how to be what a perfect heart. So perfection is dealing with the heart. What's in there is exactly what's going to come out of there. Right? So, and on the road to being perfect, being a perfect human, walking with God, right, you meet God, God and perfection go hand in hand. I pointed out that there was a very good man in the Bible. He's actually called the God of David and all of it. David was a guy that was called after God's own heart. So we went into why that is. That's in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, is where David was listed as God. A man after God's own heart. Why? I pointed out because he was humble, reverent, respectful, trusting, loving, devoted, recognition, faithful, obedient, and repentant. And God said, oh, that's like me. Something like me. Right? So today I want to pick up in Job. I want to pick up in the book of Job because when God calls somebody perfect, it's very good for us to kind of see what was it in his character that God loved. You know what I mean? Or why him? Or why did God choose him? You always want to pick up more stuff like that when you're reading the scriptures. What made God angry? What made him happy? What made him still kept working with him? Or what made him regret picking? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's good to kind of look at what these, it's not judging, it's making a mental judgment of what not to do, right? Like if you want to, like, oh, the ones that got it good, they got it together. You know, read up on them and see what was it in their character that really, I mean, it's such thing as impressing God, if you will. But what was it about their character that God felt that he can work with and use them in the mighty ways that he used them? Joseph. What was in Joseph's character? Abraham. I mean, to this day, he's still called the God of Abraham, right? The God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. They all made mistakes, including Joseph, including Moses. Moses is the guy that wrote the law. I mean, he did mighty things with these men here on the earth, but he called them all perfect. And we know for a fact they, according to us, made mistakes. So what else was it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what else was it in their character? Be very intentional when you read and make sure you are picking up on those things. If you even want to do a chart when you're reading about somebody, do that. You know, write dislikes or likes and dislikes. You know, of God's likes and dislikes. You know, when it says and it angered the Lord. Like, point that stuff out. What angered the Lord? You know what I mean? Like, for example, when Saul was called to be king or whatever, and after a while he started buck wild and being disobedient and wanting to do things his own way, and God kind of stopped speaking to him. And then what did Saul do? He wanted to go find a witch to give him some prophecy. And we know that was an absolute no-no. You know what I mean? Like an absolute no-no. So there's just things that we know are absolute no-nos, just from like reading the scriptures. So, you know, right? Do like a yay and nay section when you come in, when you're reading these about these great men of God. For example, Solomon. You got people to this day still using Solomon to glorify polygamy. Oh, Solomon did it, and oh, David did it. That would probably be on the list of dislikes, okay? You know, let's not get ignorant when you're reading the scriptures like some people do, like reading the scriptures with no wisdom, no knowledge, no understanding, no discernment. This is a spiritual book, so it must be spiritually discerned. So you don't want to be picking out on things David or, oh, no, nah, David slept with a married woman, so, you know, I could sleep with a married woman, like, you know, stuff like that. That should be on the dislike list, you know. So be careful when you're reading descriptions that somebody don't try to take. People will try to do that, right? Okay, so let's pick it up, like I said, in Job chapter 1, because Job also was called a perfect man. See, why wasn't it Job's character? Or let's at least just pick up some of the scriptures, right? We don't have time to go through all of them, but we most definitely can. I just want to, we're just focusing on the word perfect. Remember that. We're not doing a Job study. And I've already done that, but I will maybe revisit that again. It was a good study, actually, too. And the book of Job has the most powerful key in the world, which is commanding your morning. I guess, yeah, amen. All right, sorry about that. I don't even know what brought that up. Right? Anyway, I was about to say, y'all get ready for that contest that I was telling y'all about a while back. I'm just about ready to start that, and it's going to be money involved, so stay tuned for that. Hopefully within the next, what day is this? This is Monday. Hopefully by the end of this week we can do the contest. It's going to be so much fun. And money's involved, like I said. There'll be a dollar amount involved for the winner. So, okay. I want to start on Job chapter 1, right? Verse 1. Oh, I didn't even open up the box. Can I get a number? A dollar number? If you want a dollar. That's why I was saying that whole African story. I'm achy. I'm very, very achy. They worked us with muscles that I didn't even know I had. So I'm very, very achy. And then I get up this morning because I didn't want to, like, fully recover and then not work out. So I got up this morning and worked out. So I'm achy on top of achy. Guest dial-in is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Right? Okay, Job chapter 1, let's start right in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Right there. It said he was perfect. It didn't say he said he was perfect. It didn't say everybody else thought he was perfect. Okay? And it also says he was upright. Right. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Let's keep going. Let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 8. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, and we all know the story, like I said, I was going to write a note. Oh, we could do Job next week. Maybe. I'm trying to prioritize these shows. We can do Job next week because the best thing you can possibly ever learn in your life is how to command your morning. And that comes right out of the Book of Job. So maybe next week we can do that. It's almost like a sure way to armor up with like a iron steel shield. And that the enemy cannot penetrate. The key is right in Job. So maybe we can prioritize that show for next week. Okay? Y'all hear me probably speak about that all the time. Command anymore, command anymore. So we can visit that. Maybe we can visit that. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to visit that next Monday. Okay? So Job chapter 1 verse 8 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" Oh, goodness, I'm sorry. "There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil." It said again, look how, like when you read in scriptures and you see like it's repeating itself, tap into that a little bit, catch that, and see what's going on with that. Job 1:1, right, and eschew evil. So we already know what perfect means. Look up upright. It says straight, direct, properly, morally, right, virtuous, not crooked. It's talking about an honest man here, right? Job. Then looked up and eschewed. So it says in both things, he was perfect, upright, and he eschewed evil. Eschewed means deliberately avoid. Deliberately avoid. Man, when I looked that up, it just came alive to me. I'm like, yes, he deliberately avoided evil. Deliberately. It also says abstain from, give up, and turn away. So that's all the definitions under Yeshua. Deliberately avoid. Oh, good. All right, I need the bed. I need to go to sleep. Deliberately avoid, abstain from, give up, and turn away evil. That's an intentional man. He is intentional about it, right? And that's part of this walk of perfection is you've got to be intentional on not doing certain things. Likewise, intentional on doing certain things. You know what I mean? Like, tired as I am that I really want to do this show today, I could be taking a nice nap while, you know, I don't have to work this very minute, not until they come back from class. So I could be taking a nap right now. But I'm intentional in saying, no, you know what, I have to stay on course. This is what I do every Monday. This is my allotted time, and I got to meet those obligations. And I'm intentional about that. Can I cancel the show? Yeah, I can cancel the show. Sometimes I have to cancel the show, and that's okay too, but that should be, you know, few and far. Where not? Because, oh, I'm tired. In other words, you've got to be demonstrating to God that you're faithful and he can trust you. Imagine if I was running a church and I tell him, you show up to the church and the church is closed. Sometimes the pastor show up, sometimes you don't. Like, imagine, you know what I'm saying? That's what you show when you don't feel like doing something. It's almost like, can God trust you to stay on course if he trusts you with a little bit more responsibility? Because anybody can get called. Few people are chosen. Which ones are chosen? Can you stay on course when you don't feel like it? If you got a bellyache or you're tired, like me, I'm achy probably from head to toe. I mean, they worked us out. They worked us out. I mean, from the time I got there, and I was the only one that was looking around like, damn, ain't nobody tired, and nobody needs to eat, and nobody needs to sit down and relax. It just, like, reminded me, like, how out of shape I am. Like, just because I'm not big doesn't mean I'm not out of shape. Like, I am very out of shape. Some of the things I just couldn't do. And I was just like, oh, man. So now I have a goal to work towards. Like, just, if I can do that, I'll be good. So, but I still have to say, yeah, I don't feel like it. I really don't. I'm achy. And I'm doing a fast. So I'm a little bit, I can't say that I'm hungry because I did eat. But, you know, I like the munch on certain items, ice cream, all this other stuff that I'm getting really, actually I'm dating food right now, like food with my new boyfriend. But, you know, so that's going on. I don't feel like it. But guess what? Push through. I'm intentionally pushing through, you know. I can take some Tylenol and it'll ease up a little bit where I can sit here for a couple of more hours, you know, push through. So that's what I mean, deliberately. Anything that's, you know, designed with working with God or helping healing, whatever your ministry is, whatever your gifts are, you're going to need to be deliberate and intentional about it. Let's say if you got the gifts of prophecy, you're going to have to be deliberate and intentional and bold with that. Healing. Imagine you healing, you got the gift of healing hands, but you don't have boldness. So everybody that comes in front of you that's sick that you know God is be like, touch and put your hands on it. Do like I showed you, and you sitting there like, oh no, I can't just go around healing people. What are they gonna think? I'm like you can be shy, whatever. I'm just giving examples, but that's not gonna work. This involves being deliberate and intentional and bold. I'm not gonna say aggressive because scripture doesn't say aggressive; it says bold. But at times you will need to be. Aggressive has a bad. They think of, oh, violence, and it's really not. It's just getting the job done and being bold and intentional about it. If aggressive falls along the lines of, oh, well. But, you know, so pay attention to that. So I started to say Job was very, very intentional about his character, okay? Because they said he's deliberately avoid, abstain from, give up, and turn away. You know, I think on the road to that season now. You know what I mean? Like, I get out of drink no more, smoke no more. I'm not in a relationship no more. Like, I'll just kind of cut everything out. Like, it's just us right now, which is kind of good because when you don't have a bunch of stuff around and a bunch of needs and stuff like that of people that would normally be, getting your attention, then you have mental headspace to kind of focus on God and what he wants you to do, what he's telling you to do. So it's a great place to be in. It's a really, really great place to be in state. Most people call it the wilderness state where you're just kind of like in the wilderness and it's just you and him and you can tap into, you can hear clearly, you can hear what he's telling you to do. You get whatever your gift is, you'll get it more intentionally, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he just gives me songs. He's been giving it to me for a couple of years now, and I've been writing them down. But I would say for the last couple of weeks, like, he's just been nonstop with the songs. And I got this mind that he'll give me a song, and then I'll be like, oh, I'm running around getting tense. It's like I do have distractions. So I'm saying my job is very distracting, but it's a different type. It's still spiritual. Like, I'm still operating, if that makes sense. I can still operate in my gifts, which is absolutely amazing. So tap into that. You're going to need to. Don't even let purpose come out of your mouth if you ain't planning on tapping into that. It's involving walking with God. And when I say walking with God, just so we don't get it twisted on who we're talking about, it's Abba Father, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, majesty, the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord of hosts, the Most High God, the Most Holy One, the Potter, Alpha and Omega, Love, Beginning and the End, Ancient of Days, the Great I Am that I Am, El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai, El Elyon, El Roy, El Eliyot, Elam, El Gibor, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Shama, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Shalom, the great and terrible God, the supreme God, the avenger, the God of miracles, merciful God, glory. That's who I'm referring to. Walking with him, okay? Walking with him. Just so we don't get it twisted, if you're not talking about that God, then we're having two different conversations right now, okay? Just wanted that to be clear. Job chapter 2, verse 3 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" He says these three again. Okay? Perfect, we read the definition of perfect already. Upright, we read the definition of that. and one that escheweth evil. Make sure we're doing that daily, right? Yes, daily. It looks like there's some comments in there. I'm sorry. I'm so tired. I was making some comments. Sometimes I can throw me over these comments. Let me see what's going on. Najee English says, hello, love. Hello, Najee. How are you? Najee is a, and excuse me for downplaying if your title is much different than what I'm saying, but he's a photographer and he takes these amazing photos of, I don't know if you do all celebrities or Jay-Z and Beyonce, but there's always some great photos of them all over his thing. It's really, really good. Najee says, how was your day so far? It was actually really, really good. I started off good. I'm not one that jumps up in the morning and work out like I did, start that routine. That kept up for like a good week or so. And then I ended up going on vacation. And when I came back from vacation, it was a wrap after that. A couple of days it would rain on the days that we had allotted to go work out at 6:30 in the morning. After that, I just kind of fell out there. And I was like, a lot of the workout moves. You may get me a couple of years later. That's how I am. But having said that, today I worked out and I actually did feel good. Like I felt good all day. It wasn't until later on that the aches and pains kind of settled in, and I did have to take some ibuprofen just to be able to walk and sit. It was so uncomfortable. So now I am ready for bed. And you know why it's so good? Because I don't know if y'all noticed, but I have a hard time falling asleep at night. Like my creative mind don't shut off. It just be going to do all these things at night. And I'm like, now go to bed. But last night, man, I don't think I've gotten to bed. When I say gotten to bed, I was in the bed trying to sleep to like 2:00 in the morning. So I am very tired. But it's good. I can't even tell you when I'm actually like tired, where I can just get in bed and I know I'm gonna fall asleep tonight's that night. So and it was good, Najee, but I am so ready for bed. What time is it? 7:41. I can't wait to get in bed. I'm not even gonna eat any sunflower seeds tonight because that's what I usually do. I got my routine. I sit on the bed. I eat some sunflower seeds. I turn the heat to blow on me. The moment my feet be like icicles by the time I get in my room. Just all day, just wear and tear. My feet be like icicles. Literally, I'm not even kidding. So I got to warm them up before I get in. She's not regular. I told you that. So I got to do that routine. But today, I don't even think my cold feet would keep me up. Like, that's how tired I feel. Which is a good thing. Like I said, I like being tired at night so I can go to bed. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's get back at this. Oh, is there more? Let's see. Najee and Mr. Power today. So my day was really, really good. It still is good. It's late. Someone named Muslim Mohammed says, oh, wow. I can't even read that. Peace and blessings. His name is Muslim Mohammed. I almost thought she was my Mohammed from the network. It's another M. And like these words, when we get to be my age, the words start squinching little. Brittany, my niece says, hi, auntie. Hey, gorgeous. That's my niece, Brittany. She is something else. I mean, she's so beautiful. I mean, I don't even think God can make creatures so beautiful. She's so beautiful. Yes. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And Muslim Muhammad says, we should try to be perfect. Maybe that no one is perfect in reality. Huh? What'd you say? You saying we should or shouldn't? Donkey said we should. But then pull it back. He says, we should try to be perfect. Maybe that no one is perfect in reality. know what you mean. It sounds like you're saying yay and then nay at the same damn time. Here's the thing. No matter what you're saying, yes or no, God's not going to tell us hundreds of times to do something. God, like I said, he's not like he's not this God just playing these games with us. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said it, we misunderstood what perfect means. It doesn't mean problem-free. It doesn't mean never making mistakes. It doesn't mean you get every single thing right. Because look at the guys that he was calling perfect. And we know clearly they bucked wow, David included. I mean, so, you know, God's definition of perfect in ours is totally, totally different. So we can be perfect, and let's do that. I mean, I'm doing that. You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you? How could you? And you know what I'm saying? Like, why not? Why wouldn't we want to strive for perfection? And like I said, I always thought that there was no such thing. Like most people, oh, we're going to be perfect when we get to heaven. And it wasn't until recently where God was just like, you just been settled into yourself, huh? And I'm like, what? Leave me alone. Let me just be me. And he just was like, no. So he's been pulling it out of me. And I'm like, okay. He wants the best for me. So, okay, I agree with you. I do want the best for myself is saying. I'm just kind of like agreeing with God. If you want the best for me, I will get in line with that. It's, you know, it's an invitation. Do you want the best for yourself? Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm the one that created you. I know what's best for you. Okay. Yeah, you did. It's like, think of us as, let's see how it gets stated. Think of us like iPhones, right? And please, don't buck wow when I make this comparison. I'm making this comparison, and it's not even a comparison at all. I'm going to say an example. It's not a comparison at all. I'm going to make this example. For example, us humans will be like the iPhone, and God will be like Steve Jobs, right? Now, we are just operating with the call feature and the text feature, right? But somebody comes and tells you, yo, here's the number to Steve Jobs, and he can tell you all about that phone and everything that phone can do and all the features it has, and you go, nah, I'm just going to use the call and text feature. You see how stupid that would be? And for example, I remember my niece, not that niece, I have another niece, through my sister. This Brittany is through my oldest brother, David. That's his daughter. But I have a niece through my oldest sister, Tajay. And one day they came to the city to chill out. And I was working in the city at the time, New York City. And it's just so funny. I'm embarrassed to tell it because it was just a few years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And they came, you know, they're going to do tourist type stuff, get on the bus and all this other stuff, you know, the double-decker buses, and, like, they want to do tourist stuff that I've never done in my life. So I'm like, all right, whatever. But anyway, then it was time to get something to eat a little bit later on, and I was like, oh, there's this soul food spot out here called Orchard. And I was like, wait, I said, I can't remember what block it's on. Let me call 411 and ask the two. I kid you not. I was like, I'm going to call 411 and ask for the directions. My niece was like, 411? She was like, auntie, she's just safari. And I was like, what? She's like, why are you calling 411? Just use the safari. And I was like, so who? She's like, safari in your cell phone. I'm like, what in the hell are you talking about? So she takes my phone, clicks on safari. Lo and behold, this is the damn internet. And I said, oh my God, I didn't even know what that thing, what that picture was for. I didn't even know what the hell. Safari to me sounds like some type of internet game that I don't play. I don't play games. Like, you never see me sitting down video gaming it. Never. Like, never, ever. Like, I'm that girl. I can't stand games. Maybe if you got Pac-Man, we can see what's up. Maybe if you got Tetris, we can probably try to work something out. Donkey Kong, something like that. Mario Brothers, yeah. But, like, all this Candy Crush stuff, y'all more, like, mildly retarded, like James Foote. Let me not insult nobody. I'm sorry. I'll take that back. I'm just saying, I don't play games. I can't stand internet games. I think they both are mildly retarded, and there's no substance. There's no, you know, they just, I think they just make people into vegetables. You know, my mind is always yelling. You know what I mean? So I need games that way, like Super Mario Bros. Like it's, you know, there's a bunch of stuff to do. It's stuff to do. It makes sense. Okay, we got to go this way. Oh, get that. Then you get to, you know, you got stuff to do. Donkey Kong, you got stuff to do. Pac-Man, you got stuff to do. All this, these other games. Anyway, I thought Safari, it sounds like some kind of like Safari obstacle course type game, and I was uninterested. Totally uninterested. So when my niece put me on that, that was the internet button. I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? And she was looking at me like, all this time, I have been paying $3.99 charges from Verizon, and you think. Well, I can't even say you think they would have said to me, miss, you know you could avoid these $3.99 charges. You just use the internet feature on your phone. That's not their job. That's what the booklet is for. Like us, like our Bible. Pretend the manual is the Bible that tells you all the features and functionality of our cell phones. Ugh. And you're just using the call feature. And you're just using the text feature. How dumb would that be? Because all I kept thinking about when she told me that was how I had to kind of log in to my computer to check my email. And I remember going on vacation and actually calling the hotel front desk and asking for wake-up calls because I did not know there was an alarm feature on my phone. I mean, when I tell you, I was like, Overtime, embarrassed. I just started thinking of all the possibilities of things that I could have been doing and was not doing, Facebook included. I could only be on Facebook when I was at work and or home. Like, I didn't even know you can get Facebook and connect that on your cell phone. I still was walking around with CDs and a CD player looking like a fool. I didn't know you can play music on the phone. I mean, it was embarrassing finding that out, to be honest with you, and then having to kind of relearn all this stuff. Like, I learned this stuff. Oh, actually, some of the stuff, I still don't know how the hell to work it. I'm telling you. Oh, this takes pictures. Oh my God, this got a video. Oh, my God, this got a video recorder, too. Now, because y'all know I write music, so now if a song comes to me, I don't got to thump for a pen and paper no more. I can just be like, boom. Voice memo, because sometimes when you get a song, if you don't write that song and do it right then, you can lose the melody and not know. If you try to go back to the red well or go back to the folder that you wrote the lyrics down, sometimes you won't even remember how the melody went. So me discovering that voice memo feature was amazing. I was like, yes! And the whole time this thing been on there. You know what song I got in the red well that I don't remember how the hell it goes? So it was just like, wow, the whole time I'm sitting here with this computer in my back pocket and didn't even know it. You could pay, it's a bank. It could cash checks. You could send money. Like, I still was using MoneyGram and Western Union up until, like, not too long ago. And then my son was the one that put me down with the Cash App, like, MoneyGram, like, Mommy just used the Cash App. And I'm like, what is that? I don't know, y'all. Anyway, that's what we're like. We're like cell phones, only using the call and text feature, but we're walking computers and got all these other additional features that we have yet to tap into. Why do we insist on paying $3.99 to call 411 to speak to somebody at that location for her to be bewildered on the phone that you even asking for directions and store hours and dumb random questions that's on their website if she doesn't say, bam, go to the website. Yeah, I'm going to the www. If she doesn't say it with an answer because she's bewildered by the phone call directions, Matthew calls away, yeah, can you give me directions to your facility? They'd be like, directions, what's that? What is that? You know, there's Google Maps. You use Google Maps. So it's a navigator. I mean, like I said, all these stuff. Imagine getting lost everywhere you go, and then you find out there's maps. There's Google Maps on your phone the whole time. You had a damn compass on your phone. No, that you got to learn how to read maps. It will talk to you and tell you every step of the way, from every turn, door to door. But you're still getting lost. That's like somebody saying, I just rather get lost. Why would you refuse this invitation of perfection? This is Steve Jobs saying to you, come to my house and sit down. I'm going to tell you all about the iPhone. I'm going to tell you how I even came up with it. I'm going to tell you about the idea, how it came to me. I'm going to tell you everything that I've invented for it. I'm going to tell you about the new plug-in things that you can add and do with it. I mean, and that's like somebody going, you know, such thing as Steve Jobs. You know how we know there's a such thing as Steve Jobs? Damn, my phone exists. That's how we know that there's a real God. We're here. Hello, us. We're here. We're proof that there's a real God. So it's just so silly. It's just so silly. I mean, you need to really disassociate yourself with people that still feel that way. Because, and it doesn't mean like, it doesn't mean be patient with them. It just means that they just, I don't know. Maybe just haven't considered. But if you want to be perfect and somebody just don't, I would recommend disassociating myself from them, because people should be about wanting to elevate and get better and be better and self-help and yay, yay, and whatever that means. And if you, you know, like cheerleading to do better, 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 more, more. And I don't mean paper chasing, and I don't mean striving and reaching for the stars. That's not what I'm talking about. About being a better person and doing better and feeling better and acting better and just being better and all around creating a better environment for yourself is what I'm talking about. So anybody that will refuse that is, I'm not going to say demonic. That probably would be a little too strong. I'm going to say really, really ignorant to make that decision based on what the option. The option is be perfect or not be perfect. It's my goal. Nah, y'all can have that perfection. But you're going to do what? Would you rather do what? Lose? Be sick? Have all these problems not work out in your favor? Always being the tail, never the head? Let's say you're a man. Your wife's ruling over you because you don't know what the scripture says about you being the head. So she's bossing you around and blaming you, herbing you out. Probably, you know, getting you to be like sunning you and all this other stuff because you don't understand what your role is in society. You know, is she ruling the kids? Everybody's tiptoeing around her. You know, nothing's going right. Nobody likes you because nobody likes her. Y'all don't get, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a big old tree that comes with that behavior, and you don't get invited nowhere because nobody likes her, and can she hurts you, and you can't tell her, honey, chill out. You know, everybody just kind of disassociates themselves from you, or you got all this sickness going on, you in and out the hospital because you like to gossip or you like to talk about people and you like to destroy people's character, but you don't know the curse behind it because you don't have the manual and you never read the manual because somebody told you that manual, don't go with that book. That's like somebody that's like somebody from Samsung telling you your iPhone manual is not really for that phone. And you go, it's not. You never tested it and seen. You never tested out what it's telling you to do and trying the features on your phone. Like my niece is saying, okay, so you're saying that Safari works for the, is working, it will put me into the internet? It's like Google? So, okay, boom. And if I, and if I just,
I don't believe you.
Yeah, right. But never press it to see, that's retarded. Like, that's retarded in itself to not even want to know. Just click it. Like, just click it. It's one of those things, like, just click it. Having said that, I can't tell you how everything, like I said, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say about being problem-free. That's not what I'm talking about. But there is a lot of things, and I do mean a lot of things, that the enemy has set up for us in our daily walks of life that can be avoided from being or striving for perfection. You know, okay, well, God doesn't like gossip, so you know what? I'm not going to get into that. Well, God doesn't like disunity and separation, so I will not, I'm going to be blameless when it comes to stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. If you got to separate from people, then you got to separate from people. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about reading the scriptures to see what God likes and what God dislikes. What did he hate? What did he detest? What's an abomination? And what did he do like? Like, not reading the scriptures, let's say Steve Jobs. Sitting there with Steve Jobs, how many cell phones people blew the hell up with cell phones or caught on fire or fell asleep with it? What phone was that? That people was falling asleep and catching on fire? Y'all remember that? I don't know. I can't even say if it was an iPhone. But I know one thing. My phone has gotten really, really hot. You know, like, you need to know that you cannot go tan it and have your phone just, like, chilling in the sun. Like, there's certain things you need to know for your safety, right? That's where the manual comes in. Now, if you're chilling in the sun with your cell phone and your cell phone ends up catching on fire and you get burned, would you then therefore say, what kind of Steve Jobs would invent something like this to destroy me? I didn't create that phone to burn you. I created it to be a phone. But had you read the manual, it says do not have direct sun exposure because it can't handle that and you would not be burned. That's your human error. See, a lot of stuff is human error or bad decision-making, and we all blame God still. I hear that almost daily with people that have made their own decisions in life and then go, oh, I don't know what God's doing or why he had me do that. Like, they really think he's some kind of puppet, you know, and it's actually kind of sad because it's like, no, God, you did it all by yourself. You did it all by yourself. He's with you, and he still loves you, and he'll lead you right out of it. But you did it all yourself. They really blame God for the decisions that they make, and it's a little bit scary because my thing is, did somebody teach you that, or you just assume that because he's God, and he knows everything, and he knows the beginning from the end, so you was hoping that you was a puppet, and that he can just navigate? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what God are we talking about? That's all I have to be clear, what God we're talking about. Mine don't have strings on them. I mean, there is a hedge covering and other things that will definitely feel like strings. Actually, I take that back. He does. On the believers, he does. He does have strings. But it's a different type of string. He just does the leading and the guiding, you know, but it's not puppet. Don't think of puppet at all. Oh, my goodness. Don't think of puppet at all. It's more of a honorary leading and guiding, a thank you, a cheat sheet to life. Thank you for giving me the answer sheet to this life. Like, it's more like that. It's not a struggle. It's not, I don't want to. It's not, this is boring. It's actually absolutely amazing. And it's amazing to wake up every day always knowing everything, no matter what. No matter what it looks like, no matter if you get these calls, random calls about this happening and that happening, no matter what, it is amazing, amazing to know whatever's happening that you're going to win it. And whatever the battle is, you're going to win it victoriously. Whatever's happening, that's amazing in itself, like where you no longer start to see problems as problems. You actually start to see problems as obstacle courses that you're going to solve. Like, you'll see, instead of saying, I got all these problems, you'll start saying, I am a solution provider because I've been banging out these problems all damn day, and I'm still got my head up high. I'm still happy. I'm still at peace. I'm still in a good mood. I'm still going to worship God. I'm still. Okay. And that's victorious in itself. But like I said, you cannot feel like that if you don't walk with God. And that's why everybody's on medication. Everybody's on some type of drug, whether it be over-the-counter or knock-on. People can't even deal with life because you know why? It wasn't designed to deal with. We're trying to do something that we were not designed to do. We were not designed to deal with life by ourselves. Mm-mm. No. We were designed to walk with God. Okay? So keep that in mind. This show is about getting back to the basics. Like, yeah, Shanika wants to do this, Shanika wants to do that, Shanika wants to do that. My thing is, what do you want to do? You know, let's get back to the basics. Let me fall back for a minute, and let's get back to the basics of what do you want me to do? What would you like me to do? One of the girls said to me today, let's see if I can say it, how she said it, because it was actually so thought-provoking. She said, she said, somebody said they had got home and started praying to God and said, you know, where were you all day? I've been looking for you all day, God. Like, where were you all day? I didn't see you or hear from you all day. And God's response is, God, which is so thought-provoking. I'm so tired. Asleep, which was so thought-provoking that this is what the comment was, the response was, you know, that lady that you avoided today on the bus, that was, you know, and then starts flashing all of these situations throughout the day that he was right there and in it, where that person would have had the opportunity to get God's glory or would have had the opportunity to get a soul or whatever the case may be. In other words, always being on an assignment. As a believer, we should already, from the time we leave our house, always, constantly on assignment. I have one girl here that's like that, and she is just amazing to watch because she is always on assignment. Everywhere we go, she could be in a restaurant, a fast food joint. She's looking around, I'm on assignment. Who do I need to minister to in here? And then she goes right for it, and it's always checking out for her. Like, it's like you see the fruit. You see the fruit. It's so amazing to watch. But always on assignment, always on assignment. You know what I mean? Anywhere you go, you just going in the coffee shop to get some coffee. I don't mean you know, annoying people. I don't mean that. I'm talking about being listen to me again, because I can't stand people that don't know this time or place. I can't stand people that like to go around aggravating people. I'm just sitting down trying to have a cup of coffee, and here you go, chow, 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 chowing down on my ear. I can't think. I just wanted to sit here and be alone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being sensitive to the spirit. Because if you were sensitive to the spirit, then you wouldn't be going around annoying people or overly talking or just where people are like, ugh, you know, they will be receiving you, you know. And these people were receiving her is what I'm saying. And like I said, it's just amazing to watch because she's always on assignment. And it's actually a reminder to me that I should, too, be always on assignment. And always be expecting, like, looking around, like, okay, who am I, you know, here for? Like, it's been happening. I tell you about the last time that happened, I'm too tired to even get into it. Oh, my goodness. I may have to cut the show. I'm going to have to understand. But for me, it was happening naturally. And now I have to learn to be more intentional about being on assignment everywhere I go, if that makes sense. It shouldn't be like, oh, well, I work for the ministry. I also live here on the ministry. So when I go out on my days off, I just want to just be Shanika. I don't want to be Pastor Nick. I don't want to be, you know, I'm always meeting everybody needs. Like, can I get some refreshing and some Shanika time? You know, yeah, of course. God is definitely the God of rest as well. But at the same time, should still always be ready to be on assignment. And I almost missed it on Saturday because it's like the stuff that you be praying for and then God does it and then you kind of miss it. I have been asking for him to send a certain person my way, and I'm not going to get into the details, but he did, and I almost missed it. And I, like I was just, you know what I'm saying, I was tired from the workout, from the dancing, and then I had went out and took a break and got something to eat, some African food, which was very heavy. I think what I got, fried gold rice and some plantains. It was pretty heavy. So when I came back, I was like, yeah, I'm about to leave. I'm not even taking that. And then I seen the sister. She was there, and thank God she had something that kind of triggered my eyesight. And I highlighted on her. She was exactly what I was looking for. I mean exactly what I was looking for. And I started telling her about Dante and about me and some ideas and stuff that we had, and she was just, like, right on board with that. And I had to be like, wow, thank you, Jesus, I almost missed that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean by always being on assignment, meaning always being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, always being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, expecting, leaving the house with expectations, leaving the house with expectations to be used, and leaving the house with expectations to get and gain from the people being used. It's daily, and that should never stop. You know what I mean? Tired or no tired. That was just a reminder to me. But, what time is that? 8:10. To get to bed. I don't know how much longer y'all gonna have me. I mean, I made the comment. Yep. Okay. Thank you, God. Kim Green says, hey, Kim Green, and we learned that Kim is a male, and I do apologize for that mix-up, Kim Green. Ronnie Levy, hey, Ronald Levy. Wow, that's a blast from the past. Ronald Levy and I went to ninth grade, was that? Yeah. Was that ninth grade? Yeah. I think ninth grade I met Ronald Levy. I tell you, I think I'll be bugging when I tell you I'm friends with everybody I've ever crossed paths with or that know me. Yeah. Ronald Levy, I believe, yeah, I think it was the ninth grade teacher, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Wow. How are you, Mr. Levy? I hope you're well. I hope you're well. Handsome man, too. He wants to be my boy, Brad. Thanks for joining, Ronald Levy. Who else is here? Thanks for joining. Somebody named Aries Shabazz saying, what is your belief? I find a hard time answering that question because, you know, I believe this Bible, the King James version of the Bible in its entirety, front, cover to cover, front to back, I believe everything it says, past, present, and future prophecies. And I believe in God the Father, the creator of the universe. Like I just, let me read the names again. Let me read the names again. This is actually a song. That's why I had the name. Yeah, I think I'll be buzzing when I tell you I'm a songwriter. I'll write the song, get the songs, and then I'll type them up. Like, I have a few of them typed up and ready to go. I just need a DJ to just kind of get with that program and just kind of help me out and put these songs together. I just need the instrumentals, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, Abba Father, Almighty God, creator of the universe, God of heaven and earth, the majesty, the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord of hosts, the Most High God, the Most Holy One, the Potter, the Alpha and Omega, love, beginning and the end, ancient of days, the great I am that I am, El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai, El Elyon, El Roy, El Eloah, El Olam, El Gibor, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Sabaoth, and Jehovah Shalom. the great and terrible, the supreme God, the avenger, the God of miracles, merciful God, glory. That one. And I believe his son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. I'm not going to, that's it. That's all the names I'm going to, because y'all be buckwalling with these names, and y'all ain't throwing me off with those names. No, I'm not weak spirited, and you don't just throw names at me because we serve the name above all other names, and if you got the wrong name, then you are weak, and I'm not. I am strong because he's strong, and it is Jesus, the name that we serve above all names, and it is Yeshua, the name we serve above all names, and anything other than that, I will dismiss it because I tried and true everything. I'm not just a book Bible thumper like you got most believers that are just Bible thumpers or church goers and all that. Like, it's really, really way more to me than that. I mean, I've actually seen them. So, not too many people can say that I've seen them. Okay? And it's absolutely amazing to me. So, that's why I probably would tend to be a little bit more passionate about this history book of mine than I am about, I mean, I shall admit it, I'm crazy about my God. Like, that's how I am. And I should not be that way. And I am taking it one day at a time. I'm studying to be a pastor, trying to be a person, trying. But, you know, at the same time, I can get pretty gully with it because of that. Because it's way more than just a belief to me. So, but I get what you're saying. I just don't know how to answer you. It's not really about beliefs. It's about relationship. It's about who we are, how we got here, and who he is, and what we're supposed to be doing. And the minute you tap into that, Aries, is the minute you start seeing God, like, who am I? How did I get here? And why did my mom and dad meet? And why me? And why them? And what did you see with the two of them that you wanted to use that to mold me into this world? And what is my gift? And what did you put me here to do? Like, the moment you start asking those necessary questions and even seeing God in your children and all that, is the moment that it doesn't become a belief system to you. It becomes almost like a an acceptance into the adoption, if you will. It's almost like an adopted child acting like they was adopted all their life, and then somebody sits down and says, hey, listen, they love you like their own. Like, you're all they have. They love you like their own. They don't treat you differently because you're adopted. And then you go, oh. And then you start walking in your inheritance. Like, that's how this should really be. This is should be like good news, and it makes you say, oh, I got access to all these things. Yeah, you do. And so why not in it? Like, just crazy. It's so crazy, y'all. And it's daily. I said, it's so. The stuff I've been learning daily, like the stuff I've been doing daily. And like I said, just the stuff he gives me and the songs he uses. I think this thing is pretty fascinating. I've always thought that way. Like, even when I was a little girl, I always thought that spirituality was fascinating to me. You know, like I played a Ouija board when I was a little kid, and the fact that it was moving and I know it wasn't, it was fascinating to me. I'm like, oh my God, this stuff is real. Like, I was always fascinated by spirituality stuff, so much so that I knew when to pull back and not keep going like some of y'all. We are doing voodoo and witchcraft and Zedia and all this other craziest stuff y'all doing because you just went too far and you definitely went off the road called straight. Get you know, witches and all this, but witches don't fly on broomsticks. I remember that show. I did that show a while ago, teaching on that. Witches don't fly on broomsticks. Matter of fact, I should bring that out of the archives and post that for you so that if you're having problems with a woman in your life, you just may have one in your bed. Check that show out. I may. Like I said, we need to start revisiting this stuff that we've already visited because it's in the here and now. If you want to know why things is operating a certain way that you've been blaming God for, it could just simply be you're with a witch. You're with a witch. So, anyway, Some people want to hear about it. That's all right. I go, don't you be wondering about it. There's no God because this is not happening and this happened to me and that happened to me. That. God don't have nothing to do with all that bad luck you have in that place, too. Okay? All right. Where were we? Oh, it's 8:19, right? And, oh, man. Oh, I'll tell you right now. Tashant says, hi. Hi, Tashant. How are you? Wale Alabi says, on point, given talent. Amen, Wale. Amen. It's not going to work all the way. Sister Pamela is waving. Hey, Sister Pamela. How you doing, queen? Everybody's joining. Thank you, guys. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that is it for the comments. Yeah, so like I said, it's a little bit more exciting than just the regular and okie doke. Y'all, I'm telling you right now, I don't even know, oh my God, how much longer I can keep my eyes open. I didn't want to leave without the $1 million. Job 8:20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Job 9:20. Like, we're supposed to go into, since we're going to go into Job next week, I think it will be worth us just kind of stopping right here because, let me see, while it does. Okay, right? Because we're in the state multi challenge. Okay. Oh, yeah, I wrote down, actually, I'm going to save that for the Job show. Yeah, we'll hopefully do. I don't know. I got to, we'll communicate and get back to y'all. I can't. Let me see if I covered the. We were supposed to go into Ephesians. How are we going with time? Oh, man. Let me take a break first, okay? Maybe that'll, yeah. I don't want to leave Ephesians on the table because there's some very, very good things in there. Like, I don't want you to just be sitting like, okay, I'm looking for perfection. Like, I want you to know, okay, now what? Okay, I'm trying for perfection, now what? And that's in Ephesians. So let me take a quick break and go check on the girls. I'll be right back. And then maybe I get some tea or something like that. Oh, and I'm so achy, y'all. I'm not even good. Oh. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so tired. Ephesians. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to be able to read through a whole bunch of this. Just a little bit, because I need to just sleep. 364, right? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, really, really, really quick. I just want to, that I had highlighted. This is starting from the beginning. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus, or Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch this in verse 3 is where I want you to kind of highlight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that everybody? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You need to catch everything that that's saying, because that's a mouthful in verse 3. And in verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be in holy and without blame before him in love. That's speaking of perfection, because when we read the definition of perfection, of perfect, it's blameless, okay? Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see how this is not really a performance-based perfection? This is an accepting perfection. We're not doing perfection, although some things require intentional eschewing evil. Yes, 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 yes. So don't misunderstand. It's not performance-based. It's not performance-based. It's accepting and saying, okay, I'll keep this like a gift. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Riches of his grace. And if you think that's talking about money, you black it out. 8, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Right? Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's what I mean when I say the cheat sheet to life. We have the mystery of God's will. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. So you see how heaven and earth is supposed to be aligned. There's no way or no reason that a believer is supposed to be living in turmoil and saying, well, I can't wait till I get to heaven and then everything's going to be good. Like, you should be pulling heaven down to earth with healing, pulling heaven down to earth with prosperity, with believing, with miracles and signs and wonders and whatever you need. You should be pulling it down. Spiritual gifts, maybe you need more gifts. Like, for example, me, I'm praying for the, I think I have all of them except for, I don't speak in tongues. I've never spoken in tongues that I'm aware of. And the gift of prophecy of tongues. So I have all the rest. Those two. So I'm actually waiting for those two. And I have asked him, Father God, I want the gift of speaking tongues. I want to be able to speak in tongues. I don't need to interpret like this. If I don't know what I'm saying, then I don't know what I'm saying. If I don't know what you're saying, then I don't know what you're saying. He knows what he's saying. They know what he's saying. This day show. Like, so I'd rather have the gift to speak in tongues more than the prophecy, because, yeah, I can interpret, but the thing is, I want him to speak through me. You know, I think that would be fascinating. So I've been praying for that, so I'm still waiting and believing for that, because I want my heaven and earth to align with each other, right? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh, and here we are with the cheat sheet to that as a believer. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also gathered that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See? We got a seal on us. It's with what? A Holy Spirit of promise seal. That's power. Say amen to that. In verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you. I make mention and making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory in his inheritance in the saints. It reads weird because it does say, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. Again, like it just doesn't float to me. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Y'all can keep on reading about how great of a thing this is and how greater of a thing it is to say yes, to accept the free gift and really strive for perfection, strive to live whole and content under his will. What does he want you to do? Being his secretary here on the earth, or whatever you want to call it, his ambassador. I mean, everybody got their name for I call it his secretary, because I take dictation when he gives me a call. He tells me what to say, I write it down, and then I read it back. So I call it like his little earthly secretary, which is amazing. So y'all need to get up on this and just like my friend said, gadget. And go to him, friends, that's a long shame. But catch that. Anyway, if you don't know God, if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you start with a J argument that the naysayers gave you, and you was weak spirited, but you are no longer weak spirited because you're still in a push that they didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Because you too can flip and throw some questions back on what they said they believed system was, and it didn't make sense to you. Now you're ready to come on home. You open up your mouth and you say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that God is your Son. I believe that Jesus died for my sin and that after 3 days he rose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah. If you just entered in, congratulations. Welcome to the kingdom. It's a great place to be in, especially in this season. You get to learn new. Rid yourself of false doctrine. Start from the beginning. Ask God, where does he want you to learn? Ask God to put the right person in your path to get you to the right person that he'll have you train up under. And don't be ignorant and say you don't need to do that. I mean, obviously you don't need to do that, but remember, we're sitting down with Steve Jobs and learning all about the iPhone. Now, if he has to say to you, hey, here's my trained technicians, and they can show you the technicalities of the phone, why would the hell you say no to that? It's trained pastors and leaders that are designers. Did he get prophecy? He scatters it abroad. They catch it. They teach it. Why would you reject that? Because you are not humble. So you do need humility if you're going to walk this walk. So you don't need man. So that's involving pride, okay? Submit to that and submit to the leaders that he sends you to and take care of them. Sow your seed, like give it the program. Like stop all this. Everything is a no, no, no. You pot and don't see your bank grow. and your needs be met miraculously. Miraculously. You know, miraculously. Watch you start getting things that you never even thought you could afford. Miraculously. Okay, like it's more than this walk and just reading this Bible and going, oh, that was a good read. It's operating now, right? Not just hearers, but doers. Let's all be doers of the word, including myself. Having said that, yeah, we got about 20 more minutes. I am not going to utilize 20 minutes because I need some sleep. I'm going to go upstairs, finish up. Hopefully, just try to dash in the bed within a minute. I still got some things I have to finish up. I've got to clear off my bed before I can get into it. Stuff that I need that's teaching tomorrow afternoon, so I just think. But y'all be easy, and y'all pray for me. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying that you find your purpose and that you can tap in and become a better person every day, as well as myself. You know, let's take the journey together. That's what's so awesome about it. It's like crawling the journey to perfection. Say yes and take it. Like he's teaching us. Why are you saying no to God? When you're saying yes to the devil, you don't even realize it. Like, that's dumb. Stop being dumb, right? We're winners. We're winning. All right, y'all. Be blessed. Stay tuned for next week's show. I may tackle Job. Probably will be the best thing you've ever learned in your life. It has been life-changing. Thank God. A blessed man handed me a book that was actually studying what happened in Job, and it was just absolutely out of this world. So if I can maybe do it a little bit of justice and teach it like that, I will most definitely try. But I think that would be worth revisiting again. I did do a study on Job a while back, but that was a while back. And I did more so reading the book of Job than I did studying the book of Job. So what I would like to do is I guess kind of study the book of Job. Like, I don't think it was too long of a book. We'll get trapped up on the topic for too many weeks. And I'm already trying to catch up, so I want to do one in-depth study of Job. And we'll do that next week. Maybe. I forget all the other stuff. I got a whole red well of stuff that's pending, but I think we can do that next. That one's life-changing, okay? All right, y'all. Please have a blessed week. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your comments. I really, really appreciate it. Love you all. Over and out. Oh, and don't forget, the contest is coming up. Hopefully, I'm just waiting for this DJ to send me the tunes and I can get it popping. But as soon as that's done, so get your voices together, because the contest is going to be real and there's money involved. I'm going to give the winner money. All right? And that's a promise. So get it together. Gather up your singers if you know people don't sing. Get it together. I'll be posting the song soon. As soon as I get that, I'll be posting the song soon. And we can make it happen, all right? And you can make some money, all right? Over and out. Be blessed.